order the Program Projects and Operations Subcommittee meeting, March 12, 2019. Item number two, Notification of Open Meetings Act. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back of the wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Forum call.
Bradley?
Here.
Bauer?
Here.
Yeah?
Here. Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved. Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Aye. I've got the affidavit of proof of publication of tonight's meeting, and it will be part of the permanent record. Item number six, review and recommendation on interlocal agreement with the City of Papillion for water sustainability fund application for West Papillion levies. Amanda Grant?
Aye.
Aye.
Good evening. This is regarding the West Papillion levies, and if you remember in January, we had a presentation. Lindy Rogers with FIRA was here. We completed phase one, so the district and the City of Papillion had entered into an interlocal to do a preliminary investigation of their levies to see what it would take to accredit them. And the reason we want to accredit them is they were originally built to protect to the 100-year flood elevation, and then in 2010, new maps came out, the flows were higher, the levees were no longer high enough to provide the 100-year flood protection, so there was a very big area behind the levees that was put back into the floodplain. A lot of it's in the jurisdiction of the City of Papillion, so that's their interest here. So we had completed phase one, we had the presentation, they estimated that those improvements would be about $9 million to bring those levies back up to accreditation. And at that time in January, we talked about we would probably work with Papillion to enter an interlocal to do the final design and then maybe construction eventually in another phase. But since that time, we've talked with the City of Papillion and district staff, and we've decided to break out another phase 1A. So that's what's before you tonight. The City of Papillion would like to submit a water sustainability fund application to see if there's any possibility of getting outside funding to help. So, you know, originally we were thinking four and a half million each. We'd like to get some additional funding if we can. So we broke this phase out. So we would just, and the city will do the contracting with the consultant, with FIRA, to do the work. Our interlocal, that's for your consideration tonight, is just to cost share 50-50 on that. So the contract is just over $35,000 to prepare and submit the Water Sustainability Fund application. The district would be contributing $17,613 to get that done, and then we would wait and see what that outcome is before we proceed with that phase two, which would be final design and construction.
Thank you very much. Are you finished?
Yeah.
We'd have a recommendation, let's say.
I'll move for staff recommendation.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to discuss this item? Board?
Just the time frame again. What would the time frame be?
So the time frame of the sustainability fund applications? Maybe you can help me out. They're due in July. Find out maybe towards the end of the year.
December.
If you get the funding.
And the project will be done regardless of funding from the Water Sustainability Fund and all like
it would. It would be up to district board and the city council. So I think staff here and that staff at Papillion really see the benefit of it, so we'd like to credit it, but that would be the next step.
Has there been any agreement already between the NRD and the City of Papillion as far as cost share for final construction or not?
Just that first phase one, the preliminary investigation.
Director? Can you see him?
It's answered. Thanks.
Oh, it's answered?
Oh, yeah.
Page one, though, 1A, that's the $9 million, right?
Not. No, that's not. So $9 million would
be... It's just this application.
But the application would be for a portion of that $9
million. 60%?
Yes, yes, okay. It would.
I don't know if that's where you're going, Ted, but
yeah.
So it would be, and then our portion would be
half of 40%.
20, yeah, 25% of the
significantly less than.
What's the math?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's what I'm trying. In my head, I'm trying to think where are we going to get $4.5 million for the project all of a sudden with everything else going on.
So the real number is $1.8 million. Is what you think? If they get their 60%, we'd have half of 40. So it'd be 1.8.
Yeah.
Ballpark. Okay.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Hi.
Thank you. Amanda. Item number 7, review and recommendation on Flat River Bridge Trail, Eric Williams.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Platte River Bridge Trail Project, which we talked about a couple times in recent months. There's a map on page 2, Bill. This is the connection of a bridge to the existing Highway 34/75 bridge over the Platte River between Bellevue and Plattsmith. So we've taken a couple preliminary steps, and tonight we have a recommendation for selection of consultants to help us carry forward the initial phases of the design work. To move this project ahead. This has been allocated federal funding, and so the process there is to sign a program agreement with the State of Nebraska Department of Transportation, and we did that last month. The next step is to use their consultant selection process, which is to select from an on-call list, meaning they have previously solicited qualifications from consultants in the area, reviewed those qualifications, and then a select group of consultants are already on that list and can be selected without recurring proposal, essentially, to do work on projects. And that helps to kind of streamline the process because NDOT does so many projects. They use this on-call process. And they ask when federal aid projects like this trail project are moving forward that we select from that on-call list to have consultants do the two different scopes that we're going to talk about here, the NEPA, the Environmental Services, and the Professional Engineering, the Design Services. And so we have gone through the list of consultants that are both on the on-call list and reviewed their qualifications. And then secondly, there is a certain amount of work that can be allocated to any of the consultants on that on-call list. And so a couple have work that would probably mean that if they were selected here, they would have more than the total dollar amount eligible for them at the time. So they were not part of our review of the people on the on-call list or the consultants on the on-call list. And so the two different scopes that we're talking about tonight are going to come in two different recommendations. The first is for the NEPA services, the environmental services. And from this project, you can see that the bridge crosses the Platte River about 1,500 feet and then probably about 1,000 feet of trail on the east side of the highway in State Highway right-of-way up to a public access connection at Allied Road. So a very significant portion of the work is in the bridge across the river itself, connecting to those existing piers and girders that have already been placed, as well as the abutments. And so the girders between the piers are in place, but we need to tie from those end piers back down to the banks on the north and south side of the Platte River. And so we'll need to go through the environmental review process, the full NEPA, to see what impacts there are to threatened and endangered species, wetlands, all of the federal guidelines on the locations specifically where the embankments are made on each side of the river. And so we're recommending that HDR be selected from the on-call list to carry out the NEPA scope of services. From this recommendation, Bill, if you go back to the third page. This is the form that NDOT asked us to fill out, and we would check all of the boxes here that HDR is the qualifications of the firm, the specialized experience. All of these mean that they are the best choice to carry out this work. They have done recent work, including the environmental review on the roadway resurfacing on Highway 75, which was the scope of work when the girders were placed. And so they have recent relevant experience to environmental review on this location within the last year or so. So that makes them particularly well qualified to carry out the scope of work that we're asking here. So we would then check these. We'd fill in the top box, check them, check all of those, and then submit this form. The next step would be that NDOT would go through and negotiate the scope and the fee for the consultant to carry out in order to complete this project. They would then bring us a completed program or a completed consultant agreement, which would come back for review and approval by the board after that has been negotiated based on standard hourly rates and standard expectation of tasks to be completed for this type of work. The same thing will be true on both halves of this. And so the first recommendation is that that we waive policy 15.2, which is the purchasing of professional services, and ask and tell NDOT that we have selected HDR for NEPA services. Normally, we do a full RFP. We take proposals. We review those through an ad hoc, do interviews. That would not be an appropriate policy based on the guidelines which we must follow for NDOT because of the federal funding. And so waiving the professional services purchasing policy is in the recommendation here because that would not be an acceptable way to meet the federal aid guidelines. So the recommendation is that we select HDR for the NEPA services related to the bridge and trail project and ask NDOT to negotiate that scope and fee and bring us the final contract that we would then approve and sign.
Thanks, Jerry. We could have a staff recommendation. Good.
Second.
Anyone in the audience wish to speak to this item? Board members? Jim?
Hey, Eric, when did HDR do the original NEPA for the bridge itself and the road?
I think the bridge was constructed in 2000, a little before my time. The most recent work in the area was the roadway resurfacing where they closed, Bill, if you've got the map again, where they closed the two northbound lanes, and there was a resurfacing, and I think they then jumped over and closed the southbound lanes. But at the time, there was some evaluation of the it was a federal aid project as well, so they did NEPA work on this bridge in this location within about the last 3 years. But it wasn't for the original construction of the bridge. They might have. I don't know if they did.
What I'm getting at, it can't be that much, that very extensive, since it's on record somewhere.
It would be, yes.
So there's a little bit of variation on both ends of the trail, but I would think that we wouldn't to pay, we, the government, whoever it is, twice for that.
The NEPA services here should be pretty limited. We expect it to move pretty quickly because the construction will be above the ordinary high water. I mean, there will be very limited impacts, and we hope that the scope would reflect a very simple NEPA process.
Don't drop any bolts on the felt stewardship.
That'll probably be in the methods and means, yes.
Director Brady?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you might have said this already, but about how much of money of the funding or percent was the federal?
Is it 80% federal funding? And then of the 20%, that is split between six partners, with the NRD 10%, and then the counties, the cities, and Lower Platte South taking up 3, 4, or 5% each to get to that full project cost.
Thanks for reminding me.
Any other questions?
Can you bring me up to speed? I was just curious. Is that exercise often that 15.2 where it would just, we would waive it and it would go to the, is that a common?
Yeah.
It is okay.
It's a policy, and you can waive your policies. It's not a statute or a rule or regulation of the state or federal government. So we can waive our policies to accommodate like this situation.
Okay. How often does that happen?
Not very often.
Okay.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Aye.
And this has two parts. Part B, the professional engineering services would be the design of the bridge itself and the trail deck. And in reviewing, there is a different list. I think only one is on both lists, but a different list of consultants who are pre-selected through submitting qualifications to do professional engineering services related to specifically transportation projects. And Schemmer has a significant amount of experience specifically with trail projects and with bridges in trail projects, and that was very evident in the qualifications that they submitted when they were selected for the on-call list by NDOT. And so we are recommending that Schirmer be selected to do the design of the trail, which is, again, mostly the largest distance is the bridge itself, and then the piece of trail itself on the north side of the river. And so we recommend that Schirmer be selected for that.
Thanks, Eric. We can have a recommendation.
I'll move for staff recommendation.
Second. Got a motion and a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to this item? Board members? Jim? Oh, I'll give you three hands. Okay. Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Aye. Eric, you're up for the next one. Item number 8.
Great.
Review and recommendation on Elkhorn River Improvement Project Area, Operation and Maintenance Assessment. Eric Williams.
So this is an annual assessment in a section of the Elkhorn River where we ask the benefited parcels to contribute to the Improvement Project Area Fund, and then if necessary, we go out and we do evaluations and decide if bank stabilization or if other work along the Elkhorn River would be necessary. So each year, we assess the parcels in the area roughly around Highway 36, about a four-mile stretch of the river. So all parcels kind of in the area impacted by the river are assessed based on three different categorizations of benefit that they receive from the potential stabilization or other work in the river. And so we've been collecting this for a while. We've done a little bit of bank stabilization work in the past. The board has previously agreed to collect $20,000 a year from these parcels until we get to a balance of $250,000. And so there's a list of parcels and the benefited units. Bill, I think the second page should be the table. That's the resolution that we would submit to the treasurer. Here is the list of each of the parcels. The benefited units are not directly acres. There's a calculation based on how close you are to the river as to how much benefit you receive from the potential stabilization work. And then the total assessment is on the right. The location of the assessed parcels doesn't change over time. It's always just the same area. And then the bottom of this table just totals up the total benefited units and the total assessment of $20,000. And then there's one more page, which is the assessment that we submit to the treasurer to carry out assessing this additional property tax on the benefited parcels. So we complete this each year. Nothing has changed since last year. We have tried, I believe, four times to visit this section of the Elkhorn River starting in about January. Weirdly, in January, it was too warm and muddy, and we couldn't go out. And then for the last several weeks, it has been much too cold and snowy, and so we couldn't really get to the river to do the inspection yet. But probably in the next week or two, we'll go out and do the annual inspection to see if bank stabilization is necessary. And if so, that would come from this fund to make sure that we are protecting both the public infrastructure and the private property in the area of the IPA. So we're going to do that inspection relatively soon, and then we would use the funds that are collected here to do that work, and it would not come out of other general fund budget because it benefits specific parcels, which are those that are assessed. So we are recommending that we submit this documentation to the treasurer and collect a total of $20,000 for calendar year 2019, and that be added to the IPA account.
Thank you very much. Can we have a motion on this?
I move to go with staff.
Okay, motion. Second.
Second.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Board?
I had a question. Did this come about in 2011 because the property owners wanted this, or what was the reason?
Nope. I'm sorry. This came about in 1983.
Okay.
There's a lot of history, which I'm going to have to defer to someone else who was around for it. 1983 originally. It went for several years. It stopped for a little while. And then
It was $10,000 a year for a number of years, up to $100,000. And we reached $100,000, so we stopped collecting maintenance assessment. And then we had the 2010 flood on the Elk, and a lot of damage. And we got some FEMA help and money, but basically at that time decided $100,000 wouldn't go long. And so the board decided to up that amount of maintenance fund to $250,000 and achieve that by collecting $20,000 a year. So we're getting close to that. I think we're almost there.
Do you spend money every year on this, or only on an as-needed basis if you feel somebody?
I think 2012.
It's as needed, yeah. There was quite a bit of work done in 2012.
Who determines if it's needed?
Well, our staff, our maintenance staff, and engineering staff. Plus, we also had a consultant.
How many miles of riverbank are we talking
about? We're talking about 7 miles. This is up between King Lake. I don't know. We, Eric's talking about inspection here. We're seeing we're probably going to have flood stage help prediction hold. Next 2 days, match 26 plus. So we may have more than normal wear and tear.
Thank you.
Any other questions? One more. Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Hi.
Well, Eric, you have number nine.
Thank you.
Review and recommendation on LPRCA Water Quality Monitoring Network funding. Eric, please.
If you get the map, that should be the first attachment. The Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance has worked together, and that would be the Lower Platte North, the Lower Platte South, and the Papio Missouri River NRDs, as well as a few other government agencies, have worked together on some stream gauges to monitor water quality kind of in the section of the Lower Platte River. So kind of our section is roughly from Fremont down to the confluence with the Missouri. These gauges were installed several years ago, and we have continued to work with USGS to keep them up to date and then collect and provide that data online. And so there are one set of gauges, which are the long-term gauges, and there are three of those, one located at Platte River at Louisville, Salt Creek at Ashland, and the Elkhorn River at Waterloo. Those three, so the kind of three to the right, are the long-term gauges. They've been installed for quite a while and providing water quality monitoring and data. And those are there's a list of benefits in the memo itself. They support other work in the area, including the Lower Platte River Water Quality Management Plan, identifying if there are changes in water quality that might have impacts to federal regulations or other water quality concerns downstream. And so these three gauges have been installed for a number of years, and the funding on these three is shared between the Papio, the Lower Platte South, and the USGS. And so the funding here breaks down. Bill, is there another page of attachments? Let's get forward. Yeah, here you go. Oh, sorry. There you go. That's the breakdown of the funding for these three gauges over the next few years. Lower Platte South, Papio, and USGS, and it kind of decreases over time. But what we're asking now is under the work of the Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance, Lower Platte South would administer the contract with USGS to reimburse them those our two portions, and then USGS would carry out the work of maintaining, operating, and posting the data that's collected from these gauges, and then we would reimburse on a schedule over the next few years. Our fiscal 2019, and then 2020 and 2021. And so the recommendation is to fund those three gauges for the next 3 years. The total contribution from our district is $124,915. There is one additional gauge, if you go back to the map, Bill, and that's at Lashara. That one was added a few years ago on the Platte River itself. And that gauge does a little bit different monitoring. It's upstream of some of the drinking water supply for both Omaha and Lincoln, which is in the Platte River. And so the partners in that one include Papio, Lower Platte South, Lower Platte North, Lincoln Water System, and MUD. And so it's a different collection of partners who fund the water quality monitoring in that location, but the same agreement between Lower Platte South and USGS holds for them to administer that contract and then everybody reimburse to have that monitoring in place. And Lower Platte North, we got an update today. Lower Platte North did agree to their funding on this gauge already, and so all of the partners are moving through the process of agreeing to reauthorize funding for this gauge as well. And the total contribution for Papio on this one is shared equally among the five agencies at $19,685, and USGS contributing $15,468. And so our contribution here would be, again, $19,685. So the recommendation is to authorize funding for both the three long-term gauges and the additional gauge at Lashara over the next 3 years, with a contract that would be administered by Lower Platte South and reimbursing to USGS. And this is the same agreement we've used over the last several years. The total cost to the Papio Missouri River over the next three fiscal years would be $144,636. And we recommend approving that funding to be included in those three budgets.
Thank you. We can have a motion.
I move with staff recommendation.
Motion and second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to this? Directors?
I have one small question. Ultimately, who takes care of the information that comes in?
Yeah, USGS staff carries that out. They do inspections to make sure the gauges are working properly. They then receive that data and they post it online so that it's available both for the NRDs and the water utilities to have access to, and then also to the public in case they want to review any of that. And there's a list of the types of material that or the types of information that comes from that. And people who use the river for recreation also use these gauges. The turbidity and that kind of stuff tells you whether or not it would be a good idea or recommended to be in the water at any particular time. So,
does it also monitor how much water is coming through or not?
No, that's a different type of gauge. This is just a water quality gauge. A water quantity gauge is different. Those are also administered by USGS, right, which we are using now in our flood stage predictions, but it's a different type of gauge.
Thank
you. Brad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the one at Lashara, I guess I see Salt Creek. They've been there for a while. May we have some free Costco chicken plant readings and maybe some post Costco chicken plant? Right?
Yes, that's correct. We will have several years of back data for anything that changes upstream.
Thank you.
Any other question?
I'm just curious, has there ever been a large variation in quality of water through these gauges? Have we noticed this before?
So there are seasonal variations based on fertilizer application, other activities from people actually that have runoff into either the Elkhorn or the Platte River. And there is one additional gauge, which is on the map, that is also administered by USGS all the way up at Shell Creek. And so there's kind of a comprehensive set of gauges to understand where different contaminants or different water quality concerns might be coming from. So it's important to have this data available downstream and say, you know, particularly above and below the confluence of the Elkhorn, so we could understand if something changes there. And there are seasonal variations, and this would be used. There is some predictive modeling that associates water quality contaminants like E. coli with
they use the turbidity.
Yeah. And they do a predictive modeling based on the visibility through the water, because the sediment is a good predictor of how much E. coli is in the water. And so there are times when USGS posts a recommendation not to use the river for recreation because of, for example, after a rainstorm in the spring, there would be a lot of runoff. And so for a few or several days after that, the contaminant load in the river would be increased. And so USGS does have guidelines for when they would recommend you do not go out and get in the water because there might be either skin irritation or other health concerns. And that data comes from these gauges.
That was more of a quantity issue, but it's also a quality as far as getting on the river or not.
True, and both would operate at the same time, but the runoff, so yes, when the quantity increases, there is also an increase in contaminant load in the river, and that's what's measured by these. Not how much water is there, but regardless of how much water there is, what is the contaminant load in that water? So they are associated usually in the spring.
I think that's why when they yell at us for closing the access points, we say it's not only a quantity issue, but it's a quality issue.
But has it ever actually just been a quality issue, or has it always been a quantity
issue? Typically go hand in hand.
Has it ever been just a quantity or a quality issue?
We've not done quality.
Quantity.
But we could.
Yeah.
Okay. fact, there's a certain, we had a kayak tour years ago. A certain staff member tipped his kayak and got a little wet that day at lunch after the tour. He announced he had checked the gauge. It was the highest reading of COLI.
All right, thank you.
Director Rumo? Just a quick question on that Shell Creek monitor. Is it more like the Lashara in terms of what it's monitoring, or is it like the long term ones?
I'm going to defer to Marlon because that one is not, we do not participate in Shell Creek. Or
yeah, Shell Creek, it was monitoring something as pretty long.
So just count it as a long term for now.
Yeah, it was okay. That one is funded totally by.
It appears on the map because the last time we reauthorized this, there was a discussion about other funding and other gauges, but that is not one that we help to fund. It's significantly outside of our jurisdiction.
But it has an impact because it's talent.
Yep, we can compare the water quality between the two locations.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Albert?
Yes.
Andrew?
Hi. We're adjourned.